the theme song from Northern Exposure, which it brings back fabulous memories for me, not only of the television show, but also my experience visiting Canada's Yukon, where a moose might just be found walking down the main street. And indeed, this is what happened to our reporter, Chris Sallins, who's normally based in Queensland, but recently she was in the Yukon, and she sampled the unique cuisine, including a couple of icons. 3 seconds.
Okay.
Well, Christine Sallins is on the line. She's a regular reporter for us. She's based in Queensland, but is about to take off on 5-week World Discovery Tour, as we'll hear about. But she's recently back from Canada. G'day, Chris.
Hi, Graham. How are you?
Yeah, look, I'm really good. But you must be absolutely almost travelled out this year. You've been so many places and done so many things, had wonderful experiences. And you're going to talk to us now about the Yukon.
That's right. I was there in June and had a wonderful time. It was something I've wanted to do for many, many years.
So where is it? Just explain for people who may not be familiar with Canada where the Yukon is.
Right, okay. Well, it's north of British Columbia, on the west side of Canada, north of British Columbia, getting up towards the Arctic Circle.
So it backs on to Alaska.
That's right, bordering Alaska and British Columbia. So,
right.
Yes.
I have actually been there myself, so I can attest it's a really interesting and wild and remote place. So, and you found some fantastic produce there, Chris.
Did I was really surprised at the food scene there. Whitehorse, the capital of the Yukon, has a surprising number of really good restaurants for a town the size that it is. It has a population of 23,000 people, and I was very impressed with the quality of the restaurants that I ate at. And yes, it was really interesting just discovering some of the local produce, the wild berries and mushrooms, and some of the different meats available.
It's an interesting environment. I noticed there was a lot of tundra about in the Yukon, and I wasn't there in the dead of winter. In fact, I think we were there in summer. But you wonder how things grow in such a hostile environment.
You do, but there's a surprisingly interesting range of produce, and I think although they have a short growing season because the summer is so short and they have such harsh long winters, in summer though they do have many, many hours of sunlight. As you know, it's still broad daylight as late as 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And a surprising amount of sunshine. It was lovely weather when I was there in June. And so, yes, they can actually grow an incredible range of, there's a lot of wonderful native indigenous produce like the berries and mushrooms. But there's also wonderful introduced produce. Obviously, they're famous for their potatoes, the Yukon Gold potatoes. So I think they do eat surprisingly well.
They do. And you were mentioning to me off air that they have an unusual name for the locals.
They do. Anyone who has survived an entire winter in the Yukon is called a sourdough. So, in the Yukon, the sourdough means more than just the word bread.
Yep.
And the name comes from the way that people hung their sourdough starters above the wood stoves in their cabins. So that's how the name originated. And if you've survived an entire winter in the Yukon, you're called a sourdough.
And is their sourdough good?
It is.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. Now, you talked about berries and things being popular up there. I gather you ran into a really interesting woman who does foraging and who's written a couple of very successful cookbooks.
That's right. Michelle Genet, her name is, and I'd actually wanted to meet, or she calls herself Mish. I'd wanted to meet Mish for several years since I'd first heard about her. Her first cookbook, The Boreal Gourmet, was produced in 2010, and that's been a huge success. It's actually I think, the best-selling cookbook in the Yukon and even in Sweden, surprisingly, because there's actually a lot of correlations between the food in the Yukon and the food in the Scandinavian countries.
Oh, okay.
And since that book has proved to be so popular, she actually wrote about a lot of the local ingredients and provided recipes for how they could be used. And since that book's proved to be so popular, she produced a second cookbook called The Boreal Feast, and that came out in 2014. And apparently a lot of the locals actually take the books on their camping trips so that they can identify, you know, the berries and so forth that they find and can cook with them while they're on their camping trips.
So do you have to be able to forage in order to use her cookbook?
No. You can buy the ingredients at local markets and stores. There's actually a fabulous market in Whitehorse, a community market called Fireweed, and that's on every Thursday afternoon and evening in summer. It's a small market, but lots of wonderful local produce there. And I actually went shopping with Mish at the market, and then we took some of the produce back to Mish's house. And I was very privileged that Mish actually cooked for me.
Wow.
One evening, and she cooked me a beautiful feast, and then we sat down to dine together. So that was really the experience of a lifetime.
So what did she whip up, a quick moose burger for you, or what did you eat?
It was more than a burger. We had, if I can tell you the menu, we actually started with a lovely cocktail that had been made with a local gin and a syrup that was made from the tips of white spruce tree.
Okay.
And so that was really interesting. And then after that we had a potted smoked salmon. Then we had a soup that was made from sole, lovage and potato. And there's the Yukon Gold potatoes again.
Yeah.
And then for the main course we had lovely meat, both moose and caribou. And she just cooked that very simply in a pan, just very quickly, and absolutely delicious meat. And then we had just a whole array of fabulous desserts as well, so made with berries, of course, and, yeah, was a wonderful meal.
I must say, when I visited this area, I was very much reminded of the television show Northern Exposure.
Yes.
You know, where the Jewish doctor from New York was sort of sent and found a weird and wonderful and wacky collection of people who maybe were affected by the seasonal disease.
Well, yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Mish herself actually came from Toronto, and she came there in 1994 just intending to stay for about 4 months. And like a lot of people, she decided to stay. She loved it so much. And you hear that story a lot there, people just coming for a short period and just falling in love with the place. And she was, you know, in a previous life was a journalist, and she's also cooked quite widely. And she still goes foraging herself for berries in the forest, and she's got connections with, you know, with local growers. And in terms of using the, you know, the ingredients like the moose and the caribou, you have to actually know someone who's got a hunting license, because you can't buy it legally in the shops. So,
right.
But people with a license can hunt for it, and so you've got to be able to source it that way. So she's like many of those people who've just fallen in love with it, and decided to write about it.
I do think it would be hard going your first year there. I know I slept with blackout curtains fully closed, and I still was conscious of the fact that it was light outside for most of the evening or most of the night. How would it be the opposite, like totally black for months?
That's right, yeah. Well, it obviously has a special appeal to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a wonderful place to visit, and if you like experiences that are a little out of the ordinary, here's one. You know, the midnight sun and all of that, and, of course, the opposite. But you obviously enjoyed your visit to the Yukon.
I did, and can I just add too that there's also a fantastic culinary festival in August. I haven't had the opportunity to go to it, but I've heard that it's been going for several years, And you know, and it sounds like it's sort of growing, getting bigger and better every year. And Mish and they actually had some involvement in that festival as well. And this year, apparently, they held a very special heritage dinner, which was under a marquee next to the SS Klondike. And they served the dinner just like that they would have, you know, served aboard the Klondike when it was plying the Yukon River.
Oh, right.
So that sounds like that was a really wonderful dinner, I think, and perhaps something for people to put on the agenda for next year if they're going to have another festival next year.
Absolutely. And to get to the Yukon, would you fly into Vancouver and go from there, or...?
Yeah, that's certainly probably the best way to get there. I live in Queensland, as you mentioned, and so there's actually now direct flights with Air Canada from Brisbane to Vancouver. That's just been introduced this year. And then from Vancouver, there's very regular connections to Whitehorse. And then from there you can actually visit other destinations within the Yukon, like Dawson City, which unfortunately I didn't get to on this trip, but I would love to go to it some later date.
You've got to save something up for next time.
That's right.
Chris, great to talk to you as usual, and thanks for filling us in on the Yukon.
Thanks so much, Graham. And if people want to read more about it, I've got some stories going onto the website, foodwinetravel.com.au, and soon there'll be a story specifically about Mish Janae and her lovely cookbooks.
Christine Salins there. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on J Air 87.8 FM.